When I think of how he came so far from glory, came and dwelt among the lowly, such as I, to suffer shame and such disgrace, on Mount Calvary take my place. Then I ask myself this question, who am I? Who am I that a king would bleed and die for? Who am I that he would pray, not my will, thine for? The answer I may never know, why he ever loved me so, that to an old rugged cross he'd go. For who am I? He came to me. He came to me when I could not come to where he was. He came to me. That's why he died on Calvary. When I could not come to where he was, he came to me. Oh, what a Savior! Oh, hallelujah! His heart was broken on Calvary. His hands were nail-scarred, his side was riven. He gave his life blood for even me. His hands were nail-scarred, his side was riven. He gave his life blood for even me.
Well, glory to God. I'm telling you, that's just the music part of it. We ain't even opened the Bible yet. It's good, isn't it? I'm telling you, did I mention to you it's good to be a Christian? And boy, I'm telling you, you can have a lot of fun. And that's the reason when you come to church, you can shout. You can enjoy the music. You can praise God. You can come and have a worship experience with God when you know that He's in your heart. And you know that, you know what, folks? This is not our home. We're just passing through. He's laid up for us a mansion in heaven. He said, if it were not so, I would have told you. He said, I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. That's a promise from God. And it's all because Jesus rose again. Amen? Take your Bible, turn to Matthew chapter 28 and Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 28 and Matthew chapter 16. We're going to begin reading in verse number 1. We're going to read 6 verses of Matthew 28. Then we're going to go to Matthew 16 and read just 2 or 3 verses there. I've been looking forward to Easter Sunday for a while. I've read through the story many, many times. Read through it again several times this week, just looking and meditating on the Word of God. And you know what? I'm still in awe of God. Every time I read it, I speak to myself and I say, you know, thank God that someone introduced me to Jesus one day. And I'm telling you, since that day, December the 2nd, 1984, I'm telling you, it ain't been a roller coaster ride, folks. It's been a rocket ride. And I'm telling you, I've been riding this rocket ship for a long time, and it's been a blast. And listen, I can't go to Six Flags and get more thrills than I can get knowing that I'm saved, I've been born again, and looking forward to seeing Jesus someday. All right, did you find your place? Matthew 28. Let's stand together out of love and respect for the Word of God. Matthew 28, verse number 1. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. Well, I reckon so. They never seen anything like this in their life. I promise you, if you came in contact with something like this, you would fall over like a dead man as well. Then the angel answered and said unto the women, "Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen." Listen now, "as he said, come see the place where the Lord lay." Now I want you to take your Bible, go to Matthew 16. You say, "Where are we going here, preacher?" Just hang on. I'm going to use a verse or two out of Matthew 16 for the message this morning. The passage that we just read is a passage that took place on the morning of the first day after the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. On the third day, early in the morning, the women went to the tomb, and there they had an encounter with the angel of the Lord, with the angel of God. And he says, "I know why you're here." He said, "You're here to seek Jesus of Nazareth, Jesus who was crucified." They said, "He is not here, for he's risen, as he said, come see where the Lord lay." But prior to Jesus' crucifixion and resurrection, Jesus asked a very important question in Matthew 16 that I want to use to kind of catapult the message this morning in verse number 13. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Well, some say that thou art John the Baptist. Some say Elias or Elijah. Others say Jeremias or one of the prophets." But I want you to notice verse 15. "He saith unto them, but I know what they say, but whom say ye that I am?" He said, "Whom say ye that I am?" And I want to use the passage of Scripture in Matthew 28 and Matthew chapter 16, and I'm going to speak to you this morning on who is Jesus Christ. Who is Jesus Christ? Now, Father, bless our time this morning. What a wonderful day it is to be saved and to be alive. And Lord, we realize that today could be the day of thy returning. And even so, come, Lord Jesus, come quickly, we pray. But until then, would you meet with us in this service today and stir our hearts concerning the greatest event known to man, the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Father, we ask now, move among the pew and then hearts of people. I pray that spirits would be open this morning to the receiving of your word. And we'll give you the glory for the outcome of this service. In the wonderful name of Jesus, we pray it. Amen. And you can be seated. You know, there have been many great people in the history of the world who've done many great things, humanly speaking. I was looking the other day and at a list of some of the greatest people to ever live on earth. They say that Albert Einstein had the greatest mind in the history of the world. And Albert Einstein did some great things. They also said that William Shakespeare was the greatest writer and poet to ever live. They claimed that Napoleon Bonaparte was the greatest leader in the history of the world. They claimed that Leonardo da Vinci was the greatest painter in the history of the world. Many believe that George Washington was the greatest president that's ever lived as far as the presidency of the United States. In athletics, many believe that Ty Cobb was the greatest baseball player that ever lived. And into our current era, they believe that Michael Jordan was the greatest basketball player to ever live. Now, some of you here today might have a little different opinion about some of these people and their greatness or their accomplishment, and that's fine because they're just men. However, I do not want to present to you this morning just a man. I do not want to present to you just this morning the accomplishments of a man. I'd like to present to you a question, which is the question of the ages that Jesus presented to his own followers. A question that all men must eventually answer at some point in history. Every man will answer this question before he dies. How he answers the question will determine his eternal destiny. How he answers the question that Jesus presented to his disciples, he said, "Whom do men say that I am?" They said, "Oh, some say you're John the Baptist, is risen from the dead. Some say that you're Elias or Jeremiah or one of the prophets." He said, "But I say." But, he says, that's fine. Now I know what they say. He says, "But whom do ye say that I am?" He says, "Whom do ye that have heard of me and seen the miracles that I perform, whom do you say that I am?" And I'm here to tell you today that that question pierces the heart of every person in this room. You see, this question was personally directed to individuals. And may I say to you this morning, that question is posed to you and I today. Whom do ye say that Jesus is this morning? Not what someone else says. Whom do you say that Jesus is? There's no way to dodge it. We must answer, folks. We must answer that question. Well, we know from Scripture, if you'll look at Matthew, if you're still there in Matthew, turn to Matthew chapter 27 and verse number 63. We know what the Pharisees and who the Pharisees said that Jesus was. In Matthew chapter 27 and verse 63, they said that that deceiver said, while he was yet alive, "After 3 days I will rise again." So the Pharisees, the religious people of Jesus' day, they said, they answered the question for themselves, and they had concluded that he was a deceiver, that he was a trickster. May I say to you this morning, dear friend, if Jesus Christ was a deceiver and he was a false individual, may I say to you, he was one of the greatest deceivers to ever walk the face of the earth, because I've never met one that would literally die for the sins of the whole world, take upon himself the sins of many. Yet the Pharisees said he's a deceiver. They said he's a blasphemer. In Mark chapter 3, they said he was of Beelzebub. They went as far as said, you know what, he's casting out devils with the power of the devil. Did you know that they said, that they literally claimed that Jesus was not of God the Father, that he was of the devil? That's what the Pharisees said about Jesus. But I'm asking you this morning, whom say ye that he is? Do you think he's a deceiver? Was he a blasphemer? Was he of Beelzebub? May I say to you this morning, it wasn't just the Pharisees that called him a deceiver, a blasphemer, and Beelzebub. There are people today that call him likewise a deceiver. I read this morning how many people, what they thought about Easter. Many of them said that, you know what, it's a fairy tale and the Bible is a fairy tale about a fictitious character. That's what most people say. That's what they say Jesus is. But I'm here to tell you today, listen, we don't listen to that crowd. I have evidence in my hand today that he was not a deceiver. He was not a blasphemer. May I remind you that Pilate, in Matthew chapter 27 and verse 37, he portrayed who he thought Jesus was. On the cross, remember, he made a sign. And he said, "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." He said, "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." Pilate knew who he was. I'm asking you, whom do you say that he is? Pilate knew who he was. Whom do you say that he is? May I also remind you that Matthew 27 and verse number 54, that there was a Roman centurion that oversaw the crucifixion. And as Jesus said, it's finished, and he gave up the ghost, the earth quaked, the rocks rent, the graves were opened. And you know what his conclusion was? Truly, this was the Son of God. We're talking about a heathen Roman centurion. My question is, whom do you say that he is? Whom do you say that Jesus is? In Luke chapter 8, may I remind you that Jesus crossed the lake, the Sea of Galilee, to the other side, to the land of the Gadarenes. And there he met a man possessed of many devils. And as he met this maniac, this man out of his mind, he came to Jesus. And I want you to listen to what the devil said about Jesus in Luke chapter 8 and verse 28. They said, "Jesus, thou Son of God Most High." I'm telling you, that's what the devil said about Jesus. That he was the Son of God, the Most High. Now my question to you is, what do you say? Whom do you say that he is? The devils recognized that he was the Son of God. The centurion recognized that he was the Son of God. Pilate recognized that he was the Son of God. And may I remind you that Peter answered that question in Matthew 16 when Jesus said, "Whom do you say? Whom do you say that I am?" Peter said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Do you think he might have had some evidence that he was the Son of God? You think that he might have been there a few times when he saw some people healed? Think he might have been there? Yeah, I know he was there when he raised Jairus' daughter from the dead. Hey, he had seen a few things, hadn't he? So you know what he could answer? He could answer, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." My question to you is, whom do you say that he is? Who do you say that Jesus is? You see, we have these testimonies of others and who they said Jesus was. But whom do we say that he is? Hey, it's no longer what someone else thinks, my dear friend, about Jesus. It's now, what do you think about Jesus? You see, all of our life, we do things that other people tell us to do and never check anything out. What I want you to do this morning, don't take my word for it. Check me out. And then you come to the conclusion of whom Jesus is. And may I say to you this morning that God created man for himself to have fellowship. When he created that first man and that first woman, he created them for himself to fellowship with them forever and ever and ever in a perfect environment. But if you'll remember, Satan destroyed that fellowship and condemned man and separated man from God. May I say to you this morning, God has not forgotten his promise to man and to provide redemption and restoration of fellowship for man. Nearly 4,000 years now have passed until one day in a lowly manger in Bethlehem, a child was born. The Bible says in Galatians chapter 4, verse number 4 and 5, "But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law." Listen now, "to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons." May I say to you this morning, God hasn't forgotten his promise. 4,000 years had gone by, but in the fullness of time, God sent forth his Son, born, made of a woman, born of a virgin. Isaiah chapter 9, verse number 6 says, "And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." That's who was born on that day. Isaiah 7:14 says that his name shall be called Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. God with us. Hey, I'm just asking, listen, he was born of a virgin. He was given to sinful man. Right on time he was born. Hey, Isaiah knew who he was. I'm just asking you, whom do you say that he is? Whom do you say that Jesus, the Son of God, is? Well, basically 30 years of his life pass until he appears at Jordan to John the Baptist. And there John the Baptist took one glimpse in John 1 in verse 29. And here's who he said that Jesus was. He said, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." He didn't say the sin of a particular group of people or a nationality of people. He said, "Who taketh away the sin of the world." You know who that includes? That's you and me. That's us. That's who John identified him as. The Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Hey, John identified him. Let me ask you, whom do you say that he is? Whom do you say that Jesus, the Son of Man, is? Well, 3.5 years pass, filled with teaching, loving, ministering, healing, miracles. 3.5 years, people were exposed to all the wonderful things that Jesus did. Jesus healed the blind, made the lame to walk again, raised the dead. Well, the straw that broke the camel's back, you'll find that in John 11 when he raised Lazarus from the dead. Can you imagine a group of people that get irritated at people doing good? It is amazing to me that you know that spirit still lives today. You know there are people that cannot stand what we're doing. We're trying to live for God, live a righteous life, live a moral life, and they hate us for it. They were still around in Jesus' day. You see, 3.5 years, people had seen all these miracles. Hey, may I ask you, if you went, we don't have time to go into everything today, but if we went and found Bartimaeus, I wonder what he'd say about Jesus. I wonder if he would say, "You know what? Thank you, Lord. I was blind from my youth. I was blind from my birth, but now I see." Hey, the thing about it is Jesus gave his sight back. I wonder what Jairus would say about Jesus who raised his daughter from the dead. What did Mary and Martha say when Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead? Hey, whom do they say that he is? You see, the hate level now for Jesus had reached its peak among the religious leaders of that day. In a matter of a few days now, after Jesus entered into Jerusalem, to the cheers of Hosanna, Hosanna to the King. Y'all remember that? That's who they said he was when he entered into Jerusalem. Some of those people would no longer think he was Hosanna to the King just a few days later. You see, he entered into Jerusalem to the cheers of Hosanna to the King. But now he had been betrayed. And now he's been arrested and crucified. And may I say to you, dear folks, this morning that at his death, the sky darkened, the earth quaked, the graves opened, and many of the saints, the Bible said, came out and went into the city and appeared to many. Now let me ask you this. I've been to a lot of funerals, but I ain't ever been to a funeral when someone died and the graves opened and many of the saints came out and went into the city and were seen of many. Never have. Never has happened until Jesus died. And when Jesus died, the earth quaked, the rocks rent. Hey, listen, if I was that centurion, you know what I'd have come to the conclusion too? Truly, this is the Son of God. That'd kind of make an impact on me, wouldn't it, you? Yeah, made an impact. Is he making an impact? I'm just asking, whom do you say that he is? Whom do you say that Jesus is? Well, Jesus' body was laid in a new tomb now, and there it stayed for 3 days and 3 nights. But as we have read in Matthew chapter 28, verses 1 through 6, may I remind you, but on the first day of the week, on the first day of the week, Jesus arose as he said. He arose as he said that he would. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and verse 54, 55, 56, 57 says this about the resurrection of Jesus. Paul saying that on that day, death was swallowed up in victory. Oh death, where is thy sting? Oh grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. Listen to me, but thanks be to God who giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. I'm just saying to you this morning, whom do you say that he is? Paul came to the conclusion, you know what? He's the Son of God. He's the Savior. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Oh, by the way, just in case you need verification of a little resurrection, the Scripture says in John 20 that he appeared to Mary Magdalene first. And by the way, when she came and realized who he was, first she thought he was the gardener. Then when she realized who he was, you know what she said? Rabboni, Master. She recognized who he was. Whom do you say that he is? May I remind you that he also appeared to two disciples on the Emmaus Road in Mark 16 and Matthew chapter 20 or Luke chapter 24. Then he appeared to the disciples. By the way, there was one that wasn't there. Thomas decided he wasn't going to be at church that Sunday. And listen to me, I'm just telling you folks, the Sunday you miss will be the Sunday God comes down and has something for you and you're not there. May I remind you that when God sent Elijah to a certain place, he said, you go there and the ravens will feed you there. Right there in that place. You know where we need to be as a child of God? Here. We need to be in the house of God. And the apostles, Jesus appeared to them. Well, Thomas wasn't there. And they came and they said, hey, listen, you're not going to believe it. We saw the risen Savior. He said, I'll not believe it until I'm able to take this hand right here and touch the scars in his hand and thrust my hand into his side. Well, let me tell you something. Don't ever challenge Jesus. Because he challenged God 8 days later. You know what? They're all in the room. And this time, Thomas is at church. And Jesus appears to them. And he looked with one purpose in mind. You know who he focused on? Thomas. And there he told him, you see, put your fingers right here in the nail prints in my hand. Thrust your hand into my side. And let me tell you something. Listen to me. You know what Thomas concluded? He answered the question, to whom do you say that I am? He said, my Lord and my God. He came to the conclusion, you know what? This is God. This is the Son of God. Oh, as a kicker, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 6, you can read it this afternoon. Paul said that he also, you say, yeah, but that's just one, two. That day, all these people could have made this up. 1 Corinthians 15, 6 said he appeared to 500 at one time. To whom many, he said, are alive to this day. Not this day, but in his day. They're alive today. Boy, I'm telling you, I need to find out what they're on. But he appeared to 500. Now, you listen to me, and you listen to me well. There were witnesses of his resurrection. There were witnesses that saw the scars in his hand and the scar in his side. And you know what they all came to the conclusion of? This is the Son of God. Now, you say, what's this all winding down to, preacher? Two things real quick. What you decide about who Jesus is, first of all, number one, is going to determine your relationship with God. When you leave today and you decide to whom, when Jesus asked in your heart in just a moment, in that invitation, but whom do ye say that I am? The decision you make is going to determine your relationship with God. You will decide whether you want in the family of God or not. The invitation is given. Sins have been paid for. Jesus died for you. When he died on that cross, remember he said, Father, forgive them, for they know what they do. You know who that them is? That includes all of us. Redemption's already been paid. The sacrifice has already been made. And today you're going to decide who Jesus is, and it's going to determine your relationship with God, whether you want in the family of God or not. You'll also decide whether you want to be identified with Jesus or not. You see, the thing after Jesus was arrested in the Garden of Gethsemane, if you'll remember, when he looked around, how many of the disciples were left there supporting him? None. And these were men that walked with him for 3 years plus. And when it came to crunch time, you know where they were? Couldn't be found. The Bible says Peter, one of his loyal associates, followed afar off. Why? Didn't want to be identified. Thought somebody might pin him as being a fanatic. You see, the thing about it is, folks, people will go out to a ball game and act like a fool. and nobody thinks anything about it. But as a Christian, if you go up to somebody and begin to talk to them and say, listen, do you know for sure if you died you'd go to hell? Are you one of them fanatics? All of a sudden, your integrity is called into question. But you know, the thing about it is we'll watch the Mavericks play, and these guys that will paint their entire bodies and face up there that were CEOs of companies. Come on now. Hey, what I'm saying to you is what we decide about Jesus today is going to determine our relationship with God, whether we want in the family of God, whether we want to be identified with God. Listen to me. And it will decide your eternal destiny. I'm just asking, whom do you say that Jesus is? Who do you say that Jesus, the Son of God, is? But also, there's another group here that have already been saved, that have already accepted the Lord. May I ask you, whom do you say that Jesus is? Whom do you say that He is? Because your decision this morning is going to determine not your relationship, but your fellowship with God. It's going to determine what you think about Jesus, about your Bible study time and the time that you spend in the Word of God. Folks, listen to me. You see this book I have in my hand? It's alive. It's alive. Jesus said in John chapter 6, verse 63, He says, My words I say unto thee, they are spirit and they are life. I hold in my hand a living Bible, living Word. It's the Word of God. It's alive today, and it's penetrating hearts today. It'll determine your Bible study life. May I say it'll determine your prayer life as well. Do you believe Jesus answers prayer? Wait a minute. I said to believers, do you believe Jesus answers prayer? Okay? Then if you believe Jesus answers prayer, then whom do you say that He is in? Okay? Is He worthy enough? Listen, if He's worthy enough to go to Him in a crisis, is He worthy enough to go to Him in a non-crisis situation and just glorify and magnify His name? Yeah, He's same God. It'll determine your prayer life, and then it'll determine your emphasis on worship at the house of God. I said it'll determine your worship when you come to the house of God. On whom do you say that He is? Listen, folks, if we believe He's the resurrected Christ today, we ought to be shouting for glory. Hey, if we believe that He's not in that tomb and that He's sitting at the right hand of God making intercession for you and me, you know what? We ought to be excited. We ought to be excited about it. I'm just asking you, whom do you say that He is? I've given you testimony of who others said He was, but Jesus said, okay, fine. They think I'm John the Baptist, Elijah, Jeremiah, one of the prophets, fine. But He looked at those men that spent the most time with Him. He said, fine then, but whom do you say that I am? Because your decision this morning is going to determine your relationship with God or your fellowship with God. Who is Jesus Christ? I'm here as a personal witness today to tell you, He's the risen Son of God, the Savior of the world who paid the sin debt for you and I. And all you have to do this morning is come and receive it. The invitation is open. And when I say amen in a moment, you will have made your decision about who you think Jesus is. Would you bow your heads with me for just a moment this morning? Every head bowed, every eye closed. How many could be honest this morning and say, preacher, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt, no question about it, I've had a born-again experience with Jesus Christ. He lives within my soul and my heart. And I know that if I died today, heaven's my home. No question about it. I want you to slip your hand up and say, preacher, that's me. I'm not ashamed of it. I'm glad to be a Christian. All right? God bless you. You can put your hands down. The Father, my prayer this morning is simply that You would take what has been preached, what has been proclaimed this morning from the Word of God, and use it in a great way. I pray, Lord, that Your Word would go forth this morning and fall on fertile hearts and fertile ground this morning. Would You show Your goodness and blessing in this service today? And those who know not Jesus, that today would be the day that they answer that question, whom say ye that I am? And Lord, here we are today on Easter Sunday celebrating the resurrected Christ. You are the Son of God, the Christ, the Son of the living God. And You're willing to save anyone regardless of the circumstances today. Now with heads bowed and eyes closed, Maybe you're here this morning and you would say, "Preacher, I couldn't raise my hand just a moment ago. And I'm sitting here thinking, what would happen to me if I died? What would happen if Jesus came back?" And you would say, "Preacher, I cannot remember a specific time in my life that I've ever put my faith and trust in Jesus. But here on this Easter Sunday, preacher, I'm so burdened. I'm concerned about my eternal destiny. I'm concerned about where I'm going to spend eternity." My question to you is, whom do you say that He is? If He's the Savior and you believe it this morning, He's willing to save you. And how many this morning would let me pray for you and say, "Preacher, I got to be honest. I cannot honestly say that heaven's my home. I need prayer this morning." No one's looking but me. Heads bowed, eyes closed. You say, "Preacher, that's me." Don't you slip your hand way up high. Slip it up. God bless you, and God bless you, and God bless you, and God bless you and you. And say, "Preacher, that's me. That's me. I cannot honestly say that heaven is my home. I need Jesus, and I know it." And you say, "Preacher, would you pray for me?" Just slip your hand up. God bless you, and you, and you, and you. You can put your hand up. Who will join these five that have raised their hand? Who will be the sixth one? Say, "Preacher, that's me." God bless you. You can put your hand down. God bless you. You can put your hand down. And you, there's eight. There's nine. You can slip your hand down. How many would say, "Preacher, I cannot honestly say that heaven is my home"? Maybe you went to church. Maybe you had a religious experience. That's not what I'm asking. What I'm asking is, have you been born again? Whom do you say that Jesus is this morning? Who would join these eight? Anyone else? Slip your hand up. Say, "Preacher, pray for me. Pray for me. That's me." Anyone else? Anyone else? Anyone else? All right. With heads bowed, eyes closed, how many would say, "Preacher, I've already been born again. I've already been saved, but I've never been baptized. I know it's the right thing to do, but never been baptized after I've been saved." How many would say, "Preacher, pray for me. I know it's the right thing to do, and I need to take care of that for the Lord. Would you pray for me?" How many are like that? Slip your hand up. Say, "Preacher, I've already been saved, never been baptized after I got saved." God bless you. You can put your hand down. There's one. There's two. And how many would say, "Preacher, I've been saved, but never been baptized. I know it's the right thing to do." What a great day to follow through and obey God. What a great day. Easter Sunday. It'll be a time you'll never forget. Who will join these two and say, "Preacher, that's me. I've been saved, but never been baptized. I know it's the right thing to do. I need to take care of it." Anybody else will join these two? Anybody else? Then one last thing. How many would say this morning, say, "Preacher, I've kind of let my guard down. I'm a Christian, but I've kind of let my guard down a little bit. And I haven't been representing the Lord probably like I need to. And I need to make that right. I haven't really been doing the right thing." And maybe your testimony for Christ hadn't been what it should be. But how many would say this morning, "Preacher, that's me. I've kind of let my guard down just a little bit. Would you pray for me? I need to take a stand for Jesus." Would you slip your hand up? Say, "That's me. That's me." God bless you. And you, and you, and you, and you. Hands all over the auditorium. Say, "Kind of let my guard down a little bit. I need, preacher, to take a stand for Jesus Christ." Anybody else? Anybody else? All right. Now, Father, I ask you this morning, please, would you have your way in this invitation? Bless, I pray. Some need to be saved. Some need to come get baptized. Lord, this Easter Sunday, let this be the day. Let this be a time, and it would be forever engraved in their heart and their conscience and their mind today that on Easter Sunday they got born again or baptized or joined the church or whatever it may be. Because, Lord, there may be some this morning that are seeking a church home. They're seeking a place to serve God and to worship. Lord, I pray that in their heart today, if Trinity Baptist Church is that place, that you would move in their spirit and their heart right now to make that move, to be a part of this fellowship of believers. Now have your way, I ask, in this invitation time this morning, but we ask it in the wonderful and holy and precious name of Jesus. Now with heads bowed and eyes closed, would you stand to your feet? I'm going to ask the instrument to begin to play and our musician to begin to sing. If you slipped your hand up this morning, would you come? We had about 8-9 people that raised their hand and said, "Preacher, I need to be saved. This is your opportunity. This is your opportunity. Would you come?" We have people this morning that would be glad to deal with you, talk to you about your soul. Would you come this morning? Would you come? Some raise their hands and say, "Preacher, I've already been saved, but I've never been baptized. Would you come? Would you come this morning? Just slip out right where you are and come. Slip out and come right where you are." We've got men, we've got ladies that'll deal with you. Be glad to pray with you. If you just need prayer, would you come? Whatever your need may be. If you slipped your hand up, listen, don't leave today. What are you going to decide about Jesus Christ? What are you deciding today? Whom do you say that He is? Whom do you say that he is?
Millions have come, there's still room for one. Yes,
whatever your need is, you come.
At
you come.
The cross for you.
You come this morning.
Millions have found him a friend.
Some of you folks that know how to lead people to Christ, you pay attention. We've got to have help. People need the Lord. We don't need to let one person walk down the aisle and not get a testimony, a witness.